Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What kind of rest is best? That's a little question to ask you this morning. What kind of rest is best? I suppose you could say, well, it depends upon the person, but that's not the kind of answer I'm looking for, is it? There are some universals that are true for everyone. So what kind of best is rest for everyone? One, for example, is bodily rest. Very nice. I just came back from vacation, right? Bodily rest. What could be better? We rested on the beach. We put the rest back in restaurants. We had lots of fun. It was great. Good bodily rest. Feel refreshed. It's good. And every day we have a bodily rest. It's called our bed, right? We rest in our beds from the day. These are God's gifts. They reset us, don't they, for the next day, for more worship, more work, more things to do, more witness for the kingdom of God, and so that we don't wear out, right? Godly gifts that we rest. Then there's Sabbath rest. We heard a lot about that in the Old Testament, Sabbath rest. The seventh day in the Old Testament, the day when God rested from his labors. God is a God of rest. And we are chips off the old block, so we also rest. Life is not all work, 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 right? It's rest. But that rest under the law of the Old Testament on the seventh day has been replaced, hasn't it? With what? Rest in Christ. And he rose on the third day, the first day of the week, so we worship on Sundays now, right? That's our Sabbath whenever we are in Christ, when God comes to serve us with his rest, as we hear in the gospel reading today. No longer under the law, for Christ is the end of the law. We are now in Christ, and therefore we're no longer under the Sabbath day, the seventh day of rest, but the new day, the first day of the week. We give God our first. But more about that kind of rest for a different sermon, a different day. How about the rest of the story? Paul Harvey, the rest of the story. You ever listen to one of those and have to turn it off? Right? Towards the end, you're like, ah, I didn't get to hear the rest of the story. So you don't have all the details, and the story seems incomplete. Likewise, I suppose, our life with God would be incomplete if we don't hear the rest of the story. The rest of his story, or the rest of history, by which God ensured us the history of all time and space by his cross and his open tomb, and by showing us heavens to come, to show us the resurrection of Jesus, to say, this is where history is going. We will rise from the dead. We will be with God forever. Life is more complete understanding that truth. Without that truth, life would seem incomplete. We just live day to day by our experiences and so forth. Wouldn't know where we're going, what's to come. Life would be full of questions, but God has revealed these things, that we do know the rest of the story. There's a certain rest that comes from that. But too often we live life as if meaning comes from our own experiences, rather than the knowledge of the rest of the story that comes from God, his purpose, his existence, that is revealed in Christ. But the best rest. That's not the best rest. I'm going to tell you about the best rest that Jesus reveals in the gospel today. The best rest. That rest which comes from Jesus. Not as the world gives. The rest that comes from Jesus. It's not bodily rest. It's not just that rest that comes from the knowledge of God's existence and purpose. Rather, it's a rest from that nagging problem of spiritual unrest. You ever had spiritual unrest? We are restless souls searching for rightness in this world. We all have problems. We've seen the problems all over the world. We want things to be better. We want things to be right. And we're all kind of restless, all have criticisms, opinions about different issues and things, because the world is not right. And we're searching, hoping, longing for a rightness in this world, a righteousness that is yet to come. St. Augustine said, our souls are restless, O Lord, until we find our rest in Thee. And St. Paul discusses this spiritual unrest in chapter 7 of Romans today. We heard it read. Morally, we have a struggle for righteousness even in us. Inwardly and outwardly, we struggle. What did St. Paul say? The good that I want to do, I know I should do, I do not. The evil that is in me, that I do. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. It's another form of spiritual unrest, isn't it? Rest that needs an answer. Rest because it's inside. I know what I should do. I know what I ought to do. I don't always do that. The evil, that's always lying close at hand. Oftentimes, that's what I do. Spiritual unrest lives in each and every one of us because we're all sinners. We're all not right and perfect before God. And even in our conscience, we know it to be true. Therefore, listen to what Jesus says today in the gospel and hear how this answers that kind of unrest. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus has he not, delivered us from the domain of darkness and sin, and put us under a new domain, a new righteousness. It doesn't come from within. It comes from Him. What God did on the cross for you, dying because of sin, giving you the gift of righteousness freely by faith in the cross, by faith in who Jesus is, faith that He is the Son of God coming into this world to redeem the world, to buy it back from sin and death and the power of the evil one. Does that not give the best kind of rest that there is? Does that not make your hearts long for that rest always? Believe, and you will find this kind of rest. Come to me, all you who labor. What kind of labor is it? Maybe it's the kind of labor that we struggle against every kind of problem. Oh, I'm going to try to fix this in my life. I'm going to try to fix this in my life. It's a never-ending battle. We will never solve all your problems. I guarantee it. No one ever has. Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or maybe it's the kind of labor that some people do when they dedicate their lives to God and say, I'm going to make this world right for me. I'm going to be perfect in all that I do and do good deeds over and over and over and try to make myself better before God so that He'll receive me one day in His kingdom. It kind of works righteousness labor, isn't it? And God says, no. You'll never have a good relationship with me through that kind of labor, friend. Come to me, Jesus says. Otherwise, we wouldn't have to go to Him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden with such burdens of conscience and mind. Am I doing enough? Am I doing enough? And I will give you rest. Take my yoke and learn. Learning is the way we rest. Learning from Him and what He has done and where He goes to the cross to die for the sins of the world, and to rise again to reveal the righteousness of God that is in the resurrection for you, for me, for all who believe. That's apart from you. This is an answer to all the problems and the burdens that we bear. And God gives you rest. You will find rest for your soul. It doesn't say you might find some rest maybe from that part of your life. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says these things, and we follow him as a disciple. That means we take on another kind of yoke, don't we? It's a yoke of servitude, of slavery, if you will. He says, take my yoke. But here, the master does all the work. It's like that vacuum robot. That's the kind of gift righteousness is, the free gift. Who's doing all the work? God is. How? Is it really true? Faith believes it and trusts that it's true. That's the kind of gift that God gives you. You are perfectly forgiven because of the work that God does. And that yoke is easy and that burden is light. God is doing all the work for you because he is gracious. He says, this is the way, through my grace, through my forgiveness, through my peace, the peace that the world cannot give. And you'll keep struggling, yes. You'll keep having a yoke to bear, burdens to bear, yes. But come to me, and I will give you rest. We learn from Jesus how to die to self, how to live to God. We learn to rest in Christ here in the divine service where God gives you his gifts, forgiveness, the Lord's Supper, baptism. The rest of the story is given out here through God, through his church, through the Word. Have rest. We learn to suffer patiently in this world, endure all things, keeping firm in the faith all of our days. We learn to keep struggling against sin in us and in others. Even if we can't overcome it ourselves, we remember that he has, he can, he has already, and he gives us that victory. So what kind of rest is best? Bodily rest is good. Sabbath rest is great. It's not the gospel. Knowledge of his story or history, it's good. It helps us maybe rest better since we know what happened long ago and what's over and done. But there's only one kind of rest that's for us now and for the future. The rest received from God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. By his grace, through faith alone, which is the forgiveness of sins, communion, life with God forever and ever. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in this rest, in this peace. Amen.